God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of bondage. The Holy Spirit, this Holy Spirit, the Bible teaches where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, freedom, right. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, and he sets you free. He delivers freedom. He leads you to the words that will give you the freedom that you need in this life. Freedom from what? Freedom from fear, freedom from bondage. That's what this verse is saying. For you have not received the spirit of fear or a bondage again to fear. You already came out. You already had bondage. You already had fear. So he's not leading you back again to that. He's delivering you from that. If you could say amen, say amen. Amen. God is a liberator. If you have tormenting thoughts, guilt, condemnation, thoughts of addictions and things like that, none of those come from God. He doesn't reinforce those things on you and come up and say how holy he is and how what a worm you are. No, you're his child. He bought you with a price, a very valuable price. In fact, it is the most precious price ever paid for anything, anytime, anywhere, for anyone. He paid for you. And you are his. And he wants the very best for you. He doesn't want to see you enslaved. He wants to see you liberated. But those thoughts, they don't come from God. So refuse to receive them. Don't give them power over your mind. Don't let them start regulating your life with your thoughts. No, that's your mind. Say that. This is my mind. It's not the devil's playground. God gave me this mind. I fill it with the thoughts of God. His thoughts of me are numerous. They number the sands of the sea. Oh, he loves me. You know, even if you may feel that God is angry with you, even so, he may be angry with you, but he is not a forsaker. Let that sink in. He is not a forsaker. Why would he forsake you over a sin that he already paid for? See how manipulative the devil is? And he tries to get you to buy this thing? And how did he attack Jesus? He attacked his identity. If you're the Son of God. What do you mean, if? It's the same thing he did with Adam and Eve. He attacked their identity. He says, oh, you'll be, you know what? Oh, God didn't tell you that if you eat that, you'll be just like him. They already were just like him in his image and in his likeness. But he's trying to convince them that they weren't so that they would do what he says to do. Same thing with Jesus. He's trying to convince him that he's not what he thinks he is so that he'll do what the devil tells him to do and jump off the top of the temple. And then that's it for Jesus. There's a lot more to those temptations than that. But suffice it to say, he attacks the identity of a person. He attacks your identity as a child of God. Say this, God has not forsaken me. He's got a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. If you're out of fellowship with him, get back into fellowship with him. You're the one that can do that. Just simply put your faith in that blood. Say, Lord, I don't feel forgiven, but I'm putting my faith in that blood. And if your word is true concerning me, then I receive my forgiveness. Thank you. Deliver me from that sin. Thank you. So, well, I don't feel. No, look, if I confess my sin, I'm not looking at anything. I'm looking at what the. See, this is my panel right here. You know, a pilot who is instrument trained, he's trained to look at the instruments. So one reason, JFK Jr. went down in that plane because it got dark and he wasn't instrument regulated. He wasn't instrument trained or certified. And so what happens is, and they say this, this is true. A pilot that goes into clouds, loses visibility, or in darkness, he has 90 seconds before he gets vertigo. 90 seconds. And you think the plane is turning, but it's not. And so you try to bring it back. And actually, then when you come out of the clouds, that thing will be like this. And you thought it was like this. You get vertigo and you don't even know it. But if you're reading the panel and the instruments, then you can see that no matter how you feel, you know the instruments don't lie, and they will tell you that you're level. And what happened was when they got those faster planes right after World War II, those single-engine planes that were really fast, and the pilots were coming out of this cloud cover, and they were like this, and they thought they didn't. So they jerked it back up and jerked the wings right off, and boom, boom. And that's what happened to them. But if you are instrument certified, you're not looking at the sin, you're looking at what God says about it. Not about what your mind says about it, not how you feel about it, your opinions doesn't matter. What matters is God says you are forgiven, you are washed, you are cleansed. And you say, body, mind, get in line with the truth. The truth will stand forever and you won't. Opinion, go. Attitude, go. I like that. Say, is it that simple? I had a guy say that, you make it sound so simple. Well, it is. You complicate it with a lot of unbelief and you listen to the devil too much. See, no matter how big and how powerful that you think God is or perceive him to be or how holy or almighty he is, if you don't believe he loves you enough to do anything for you, then your faith and your belief in his ability isn't enough. 1 John 4:16 says this. You don't have to turn there. Just write it down. 1 John 4:16 says, we have known and believed in the love that God has to us. God is love, and he who dwells in love dwells with God and God in him. You need to know the love of God, and you need to believe in the love of God. If you believe him enough and to trust him, to walk in him, to be followed, led by the Holy Spirit, and to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you need to trust him. And the only way you can trust him is to know that he loves you. Amen? Romans, let's look, verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It's important to know what we have received and what we haven't received. Amen? What have you received? Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. What haven't you received? The spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear and bondage are connected. If you're in any kind of a bondage, that means you're under some kind of a fear. But oh, when you know how much he cares for you. Oh, when you know how much he loves you. Then you believe that he will use all of that ability and all of that power on your behalf. And he'll show himself strong in your behalf. Amen? So when you know his love, all of his ability becomes accessible to you rather than, whoa. See what I mean? There's no separation. There's no alienation there. You guys there? For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption. You have been adopted into the family. You know, spirit of adoption is kind of neat because I didn't have a choice, and my parents didn't have a choice. They were stuck with me when I was born, you know. But if I was adopted, they chose me. God chose you. Isn't that good news? He chose me with all of my junk? Yeah, he did. Because your junk didn't surprise him. It didn't take him by, you know, alarm that you might have sinned. You know, people get so weird about this stuff. God knows. He became sin. He was made to be sin for you. He knows everything about it. You don't have to inform him about your sin. He already knows it. What you can do is come to him and say, Father, I'm sorry for that. I just don't want the devil to have any inroads in my life now. And he'll say, well, come on in here, son, to talk to me about it. He wants to say, hey, I'm talking to you as a father would talk to his dear child. I want to talk to you tenderly. I want you to know how much I love you. I want to tell you things that you don't know. I want to increase your understanding. And I want you to see things that the world just discards because it's meaningless to them. But I have given you things, says the Lord. I have given you things that I am unfolding to you in this very hour. Hey, I'm talking to you. That's what God's saying. Hey, I'm talking to you. I went through this for years and years and years. Nobody ever told me I was a spirit and that the Holy Spirit was given to me to lead me by that inner witness. When I first got saved, I went to this little, my brother led me to the Lord, and he led me actually into salvation, and I received the Lord through my brother. And because he had been saved, gosh, for a whole 2 weeks. And he was excited about Jesus. And I was an atheist. I said, wait. And I tried to convince him and everything. But the more I tried to convince him, words were coming at me that just kicked the stilts right out from under me. And I saw that God is real, and I wanted what he had. And I said, how do you know all this stuff? He said, because Jesus is my Lord. I looked at him and said, he's my Lord too. And I meant it. I was changed forever right there. I didn't say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. He's already done that. Sin might be big to you, but it's not big to him. Here, see that? That's what he did. And then he cleansed it, washed it, brought it before the Father, before all of heaven, and before the devil himself and all the demons. It says, this is for him. You're free. That's a good. So what you have received and what you haven't received, uncoupling from what you from the old. Let's go back to that, John. 8:14, 8:14, 15, 16. You may uncouple from the spirit of bondage again to fear. But that's not complete until you plug in to the spirit of adoption that tells you who you are. This has everything to do with your identity. The spirit bears witness with our spirit, it says in 16. For the spirit itself or himself, actually, that's a poor translation. King James, the spirit is not an it. You've heard me say that before. It is a him. He is the magnificent, powerful, glorious Holy Spirit. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Where does he bear witness? With our spirit, not with our head, not with our body. He doesn't give us goosebumps and make us feel good about it. But he bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. Let's say that together. The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I am a child of God. So we went to this little church, my brother and I, and they basically preached a lot of doctrine, and they were real big on the new birth and water baptism, and they wanted you to know the deity of Christ, man. Yeah. And they wore that path on the rug out pretty good. I guess that's all they ever knew was doctrines and stuff. And all of that is good, and it's all true. You'd have to get born again, and you need to get water baptized if you're born again. You really should do that. You don't have to be saved. You get saved before that. But I already read John 1, where the Word was God and the Word made everything and the Word was made flesh. I got that. But if you hear it over and over and over, like pumping it, you think, what don't I know about this? And then you start questioning your own faith and what you know. So they taught all those things. And as far as I knew, I never saw them walking by faith. The general direction I got of their messages was they were afraid to do anything wrong. They were afraid to do something wrong that might embarrass Jesus if they believed too much. Do you get it? Have you ever been there? Yeah. And so they were afraid to do something wrong rather than just taking the Word of God at face value and say, okay, this is what God said. I believe it. Therefore, I'm going to take it and walk with it and get the results that the Word says I can get. So, and they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. They believed that He was. I mean, they believed that He was. And these people were sincere. They loved God. I'm not judging them. They prayed and everything. And it was, you know, sometimes you felt something. Sometimes you didn't. But there was no reality of the Spirit, no fellowship with the Spirit that I understood. And then through, long story short, series of events, my brother and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We started praying in tongues, and oh my, the Bible started opening up to us, because you know why? The author was now interpreting it to us. The author of those scriptures was now living on the inside of us. He was empowering us. He was all over us. And all of a sudden, it all made sense. Who knows all of the Word of God? Nobody knows the whole counsel of God except God. You're a finite being. He's infinite, so we can't know all of that. But we started going to a charismatic church after that. And miracles were just commonplace back then. I remember this dentist. You met Dean Cloutier. Dean and Margaret Cloutier had a daughter born, Clarice, who was born with one hip that was way out of joint. It was a terrible thing. And total deformation. And the doctors were talking, they were going to operate, do something. One day during service, God went, put that whole thing right back. She's perfectly in line. I mean, this was commonplace things for us. This is back in the 70s, at the height of the charismatic renewal or whatever movement said. But these were things that were... It was like pop. We went to church. We knew God was going to show up in some way. I mean, there wasn't even a question about that. We just accepted it, and He's there. Where two or more got, He's there. And the power of the Holy Spirit was there. But we saw miraculous things. But still, what was lacking in all of that was there was no solid foundational teaching of how to walk in the Spirit, teaching me that I was a spirit and that He was going to lead me by that inner witness. And that is something that was important, that I needed to pay attention to that, close attention to that, because that's the way that He leads us, by that inner witness. When we moved into this church, I'm going to cut all this short, but before we moved into this church, we were meeting up at the, we were still meeting in the school. And this place came open, and we looked at it. And I remember we started meeting. It was December of 18. And we were looking at this, and we came down from a Bible study at the chamber that we're meeting there, and we stood in the parking lot. What was there, 15 of us or something? And God gave me an inner witness that this was where we were supposed to be, that He was opening us up. We only had a handful of people. How are we going to do this? I didn't know. But I had a witness in my spirit. It was a peace. It was a knowing that everything was going to work out all right. And then the devil would go, oh, he's so arrogant. You want to meet an ugly, arrogant spirit? It's the devil. Why would anybody want to follow him is beyond me. Well, he'll get his. But we stood out here, and I had such a peace. It's just, it was a peace. That's all I can tell you. And the devil says, how are you going to do that? How are you going to, is that my problem? I'm just to be led by the Spirit. I'm supposed to pay attention to an inward witness. And if I do that, he who is leading me by that witness will take care of the rest. Amen. I mean, this is not rocket science. If I was a drugged out hippie musician, rock music, playing in rock bands, traveling all over. I didn't even know what state I was in a lot of the time. Well, I was in a, you know, but that kind of a state. But I didn't know what physical, whether I was in Texas, Louisiana, I didn't know where I was. Didn't matter. I was never like Biden. Father, we pray for President Biden right now. Lord, we ask you to honor the office. And Lord, we ask, Father, for him to make godly decisions, for him to make the right decisions. We pray that he put a stop to this holocaust of children, unborn children, and even born children. We pray, Father, for him right now to receive, to jerk the slack out of him like only you can do, and to bring him to attention with the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he needs to do what's right. In Jesus' name. But good point, though. I was lost. But I got found. And if I can get be a Christian, so can he. So can Kamala. So can Nancy Pelosi. You know, I saw Nancy Pelosi one night sitting at a Joel Osteen out in San Francisco. Her and her husband were sitting out there in the audience. The camera showed it. So we just pray that those seeds come to fruition. We pray, Father, for those, for her to let go of all of that and just see it for what it is in the squalor that these people have produced in our country. Thank you, Father. But if I ever heard that I was a spirit, I didn't know it. It was probably, if I ever heard that, it was probably like the seed that falls by the wayside and the birds come and just eat it right up before it gets root. But then a series of things happened to me that I said, you know what? If I was led by the Spirit, things would be different. God doesn't deal in dark. Here's what I'm saying about that charismatic thing. We would pray. And if something happened, well, I guess it was God. If something didn't happen, I guess it was God. I mean, we had more faith in the thing that if we did pray, then something would. But you see how dark that. Did Jesus ever lead us that way?
No.
Did Jesus ever say, well, I prayed, but I guess it wasn't the Father's will this time.
No.
would he ever, did Jesus, did the Apostle Paul ever pray like that? No, he said, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, we believe, therefore also we speak, and therefore we also speak, whatever. But he would talk that way. He said, look at the unseen, because the seen is temporary. It's going away. And what we can't see, the faith of God, the word of God that really accentuates, it's truth. That will become manifest, and that's what we'll do. But when we were out here that day, I'll tell you, was fear there? Yeah. Was doubt there? Yeah. I just didn't let it in. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. And that same Paul said, the cares of the church come on me daily. But the cares, he didn't let them in. He didn't let them in. Don't let the cares in. Keep yourself in the Holy Spirit. Keep that inner witness speaking to you. Feed that inner witness with the Word of God, because he bears witness of the truth. Amen? And the truth that you know is the truth that he will quicken in your heart and you'll be free. It's not just the truth will make you free. The truth that you know. You'll know the truth and it'll make you free. It goes past just the acceptance of it in a mental thing, just in your thinker. it's when it becomes revelation that goes down in your believer, and that's when it becomes the revelation, the real to you that you need. That's what you're walking. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he got a revelation of what he could do because Jesus did it. This is the thing you got to see. When you see Jesus do it in the Bible, you got to accept the fact that you can do it too. Now, don't go commanding trees to get plucked up and mountains to remove. We're talking about, don't start, well, start there. Start on little things, little foundational things, the foundational things that you need that'll support the big things later on. You know, decisions are important. Decisions, there are so many Christians who are millions of Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit, recreated in the image and likeness of God, filled with His Spirit. They know His Word. They pray in tongues. They do it. And they're making decisions right out of their head as if the Holy Spirit didn't even need to be involved. Decisions determine direction, and direction determines destination. I mean, how did you get here this morning? You had to make a decision to come, right? You are where you are right now through a series of thousands of decisions that you've made, where you work, where you live. All of these decisions come into play and put you right where you are right now. You decided to come here this morning. Well, if you came from Crystal Lake or Algonquin area, well, you'd have to come south on Randall or 31 or something. 62 to 25, whatever, you'd have to make a decision and go that route. Now, if you went north, you might get to a church. It wouldn't be this one. You may have your faith fed or maybe not have, who knows what it is. But you meet new people. Should I take this job? Should I marry them? You know what I mean? Should I move from the city and take that high-paying job over there? Or should I, maybe I should talk to some of those people and see how they treat their people, see if they promote, let's investigate a little bit. But they're making decisions out of their head with no counsel from the Holy Spirit. And it hadn't be that way. We need, if decisions are so important that it will change your destiny, you go to another job, you're under the influence of other people, other cultures, they speak into your lives, you're a whole new different person than you would be right now. If decisions are that important, I'm telling you, we need help. We need help in arriving at the right decisions. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Isn't that good? And you can, because He is the helper.
Yeah.
And He'll help you make the right decision. He'll quicken the Word inside of you. And all of a sudden, it may have nothing to do with your situation, but you'll know which way you ought to go. This has happened to me countless times. There's an inner witness, a peace. It feels like velvet. Brother Hagin used to describe it like that. There's a book I read, Being Led by the Holy Spirit, and another one he wrote, Growing Up Spiritually. This is a growing thing. This is something, it's the most important thing that you'll ever learn, is listening to the witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Lori and I are trying to get into this thing more and more all the time, and you never arrive. You'll never know it all. It's a lifetime learning process of how to walk with the Holy Spirit, how to come in line with Him. The inner witness. Sometimes it's a peace. Sometimes it's a vision. Kelly has been doing a great job in the School of Prophecy teaching about dreams and how God does lead us. We have biblical. Paul had a dream one night of this guy in Macedonia saying, come on over and help us. A dream. So he knew what to do. You can know what to do. God will give you dreams. He'll give you visions. Really? It may not be an open vision, but you can see it in your mind. The church misses it because they're expecting the spectacular instead of getting the supernatural. The supernatural is very seldom is it spectacular, but it is always supernatural. Amen? Decisions are important. Decisions determine direction, and direction determines destiny. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and He speaks to you. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. It's light. It's truth. It's power. It's ability. It's His ability. And it will connect you with the freedom that you have wanted from the very time you knew what bondage was. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you, Father, that he is the one who makes all things possible. And Jesus invited us to come and drink. And out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. If you have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, excuse me, I want you to come up here. And we'll lay hands on you and receive the Holy Spirit, and you'll speak in a whole new language. Because every time I used to pray, I used to feel like I was missing something. And then I got the Holy Spirit. It was like, Hom brakara la masuraka. Oh, yeah. Now I felt fulfilled. My prayer life was fulfilled. And it had a whole new dimension to it. But I want you to come up. And I want to lay hands on you.